Chapter 13. If this were a book written to entertain small children, you would know what would happen next. With the villain's identity and evil plans exposed, the police would arrive on the scene and place him in a jail for the rest of his life, and the plucky youngsters would go out for pizza and live happily ever after. But this book is about the Baudelaire orphans, and you and I know that these three unfortunate children living happily ever after is about as likely as Uncle Monty returning to life. But it seemed to the Baudelaire orphans, as the tattoo became evident, that at least a little bit of Uncle Monty had come back to them as they proved Count Olaf's treachery once and for all. "That's the eye, all right," Mr. Poe said, and stopped rubbing Count Olaf's ankle. "You are most definitely Count Olaf, and you are most definitely under arrest."
"And I am most definitely shocked," Dr. Lucafont said, clapping his oddly solid hands to his head.
"As am I," Mr. Poe agreed, grabbing Count Olaf's arm in case he tried to run anywhere. "Violet, Klaus, Sonny, please forgive me for not believing you earlier. It just seemed too far-fetched that he would have searched you out, disguised himself as a laboratory assistant, and concocted an elaborate plan to steal your fortune. I wonder what happened to Gustav, Uncle Monty's real lab assistant," Klaus wondered out loud. "If Gustav hadn't quit, then Uncle Monty never would have hired Count Olaf." Count Olaf had been quiet this whole time, ever since the tattoo had appeared. His shiny eyes had darted this way and that, watching everyone carefully, the way a lion will watch a herd of antelope, looking for the one that would be best to kill and eat. But at the mention of Gustav's name, he spoke up.
"Gustav didn't quit," he said in his wheezy voice. "Gustav is dead. One day, when he was out collecting wildflowers, I drowned him in the swarthy swamp. Then I forged a note saying he quit."
Count Olaf looked at the three children as if he were going to run over and strangle them, but instead he stood absolutely still, which somehow was even scarier.
"But that's nothing compared to what I will do to you, orphans. You have won this round of the game, but I will return for your fortune and for your precious skin."
"This is not a game, you horrible man," Mr. Poe said. "Dominoes is a game. Water polo is a game. Murder is a crime, and you will go to jail for it. I will drive you to the police station in town right this very minute." "Oh, drat, I can't. My car is wrecked." "Well, I'll take you down in Dr. Montgomery's jeep, and you children can follow along in Dr. Lucafont's car. I guess you'll be able to see the inside of a doctor's automobile after all."
"It might be easier," Dr. Lucafont said, "to put Stefano in my car and have the children follow behind. After all, Dr. Montgomery's body is in my car, so there's no room for all three children anyway."
"Well," Mr. Poe said, "I'd hate to disappoint the children after they've had such a trying time. We can move Dr. Montgomery's body to the jeep and..."
"We couldn't care less about the inside of a doctor's automobile," Violet said impatiently. "We only made that up so we wouldn't be trapped alone with Count Olaf."
"You shouldn't tell lies, orphans,"
Count Olaf said.
"I don't think you are in a position to give moral lectures to children, Olaf," Mr. Poe said sternly. "All right, Dr. Lucafont, you take him."